The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Pataka Swami on September 16, 1997 in Bangalore, India. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter, text 28.
Asadhyahutam dattam tapastaptam khitam sayat asaritjuchate partha nacha tatpretyano iha asadhyahutam dattam tapastaptam khitam sayat Asadityuchate partha nacha tatpretyano iha Haribo. Anything done as sacrifice, charity or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Son of Pritha, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life and the next. Purport. That's the Prabhupada. Anything done without the transcendental objective, whether it be sacrifice, charity, or penance, is useless. Therefore, in this verse it is said, declared, that such activities are abominable. Everything should be done for the Supreme in Krishna consciousness. Without such faith and without proper guidance, there can never be any fruit. In all the Vedic scriptures, faith in the Supreme is advised. In the pursuit of all Vedic instructions, the ultimate goal is the understanding of Krishna. No one can obtain success without following this principle. Therefore, the best course is to work from the very beginning in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to make everything successful. In the conditional state, people are attracted to worshipping devatas, ghosts or yakshas like Kuber. The mode of goodness is better than the mode of passion and ignorance. But one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all three modes of material nature. Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one by the association of pure devotees takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way. And that is recommended in this chapter. To achieve success in this way, one must first find the proper spiritual master and receive training under his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. When that faith matures in course of time, it is called love of God. This love is the ultimate goal of the living entities. One should therefore take to Krishna consciousness directly. This is the message of this 17th chapter. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the divisions of faith. So in the previous verse, it explains that all work should be performed to please the Supreme Person. That the absolute truth is the objective of devotional sacrifice. That can be achieved by saying Om Tat Sat and offering the works for the pleasure of the Lord. When you're going to cook for the Lord's deity, you can say Om Tat Sat. When you're going to give charity in the name of the Lord, Om Tat Sat. That it's meant for the Supreme. There are many kinds of penances people do. Some people are fighting wars and they're suicide squad, isn't it? That's a supreme sacrifice. But it's actually not useful spiritually. You will blow the body up. Again, they have to take rebirth. Some people do fasting for giving pay raise. This will not bring them back to Godhead. It may or may not get them a raise in the pay. So, the point here is what we give away in charity, what we do as a sacrifice, or what we do as a penance. Everything should not just be done for some temporary reason, but it should be done for the pleasure of the Supreme. If the Supreme Lord is pleased, everything is a success. If he's not pleased, then it's a failure. The demon Tripurasur had got a very special airplane, and he flew from another planet and he attacked this planet. In the Vedas, there's a lot of discussion about star wars between different planets. In the Bhagavatam, it mentions that previously there was interstellar wars going on, and a spaceman Buddha appeared who was in outer space, and he was able to convince all these warring planets to stop fighting and meditate. You see, thousands and thousands of years ago, I was talking about these things. There were no airplanes of modern type in those days, no Boeings or Airbus or anything. How the people would know all about these things if these actually were happening? So, this Tripurasur, he got some special blessing from Lord Shiva, and he was attacking this planet. Well, I don't know how he got his power actually, but actually they requested Shiva to stop him. So Shiva went and he shot his arrows and he killed the people on the Tripura Asura's ship. The ship landed, but the Maya Danava, he had a special well which had Amrit in it. And simply by taking the Amrit and putting it on them, they came back to life. So next day again they came back to fight, and Shiva said, I killed them yesterday, again how they're coming back to life. Very perplexing. So he became a little discouraged. Every time I have to kill again and again and they're coming back, it's no use. So he approached Lord Vishnu for a solution. So Vishnu said, don't worry, I'll help you. So then Lord Vishnu, he took the form of a cow, and Lord Brahma took the form of a calf. And they walked in the camp of the Asuras. So nobody was bothering, you know, some cow wandering around in the camp. And the cow went over to the well, which had the nectar in it, and started to drink the nectar. Finished all the nectar off. As suddenly the report came, a cow is drinking all the nectar. Then Maya Danava ran and he saw nectar is gone. And then he could realize this is no ordinary cow. Only Vishnu can do this. Then he told the Tripurasura that up to now we had a chance. Because Vishnu was saying, not getting involved. But once the Supreme Lord makes his decision, who will win? Who will be victorious? Then there are no more questions about. So the Maya Danava, he could understand ultimately, even though he's an Asura, he knew that this is ultimately Vishnu is supreme. Whatever he says happens. So then Lord Shiva, the next time they went up, they are finished. And Lord Shiva became known as Tripurari, the liberator of Tripurasur. Unless the Lord is pleased, there's no hope. So the whole point of our sacrifice, penance, charity should be to see the Lord is pleased. We waste our valuable human life doing so many things which are not useful. One day Prabhupada, through His Divine Grace, Srila Abhaycharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was walking in Los Angeles of United States of America, taking a morning walk. And he went by the golf course. He saw these people hitting the ball and walking, and he said, "What is this?" He said, "Golf." He said, "What is golf?" Maybe he knew, but he was just asking to see what they would say. But it's very hard to explain, you know. There's a few hundred meters, and then there's a little hole in the grass with a flag, and then there's a ball, and you hit the ball with a stick, and how many times you hit the ball is counted until you get it in the hole. And Prabhupada, they'll do anything, they invent any nonsense to waste the valuable human life. Is this what human life is meant for? Hitting a ball into a hole? But now, you know, if you want to get ahead in a corporate world, this is what they tell you. So here in Bangalore, we should shoot for a higher objective, a transcendental objective. When people get married, vivaha is a yajna. It's also meant, should be meant to please the Supreme. People give in charity. Nowadays people say, "Oh, we have enough temples, no need of giving money for a temple." Actually, preaching temples are very far and few between. Apart from that, there's so many things like giving out prasadam to the hungry people, to the pilgrims, to the devotees, putting books in the libraries, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavat, many type of activities are there. If people don't like to give for temple, they can give these other things. But of course, giving for temple is also very good, because this temple is meant for preaching. If we do things without any higher purpose, it's a waste. You see, there was once this great emperor, Bahudagda, something like that, I forget, Bahu, and his son inherited the throne after him. And this son, who was the new emperor, he became very... The son had a servant who was very foolish. Somehow this servant and a bunch of the young people working in the king's court, the princes and nobles, and not princes, and the nobles and generals, they got into a wager with one wicked man who had was cheating them. He had a very powerful elephant that he said can defeat anyone. So everybody was giving some money to defeat the elephant. So this servant of the emperor, not a minister, but some highly placed, influential person in the government, he came forward and started shouting at this elephant. So the wicked man, he just drove the elephant on this foolish servant of the emperor. And the elephant stomped on him, broke his head, broke his bow bones, killed him, even after he was already dead, just to make further show. The elephant took the arms and legs and ripped them off and threw in different directions. Was that servant very smart to go with the elephant? But when the servant, whatever the consciousness we're in, when we die, that's what we get in the next life. So guess what this servant became in his next life? Anyone knows? Elephant! Yes. He was very elephant conscious when he died. He had no higher purpose, and all he was thinking about when he left his body was the elephant that was ripping him apart. So, next life he became elephant, and he was there in a nice temple in Simla Desh. Then, in that temple, they were always reading the 17th chapter Gita that we read tonight. But that king of that Simla Dweep donated this elephant to the son of the king, Bahu, I forget his name, Bahu something. The same place where he was in his previous life. When he got there, although he's an elephant, he can remember that before I was in the king's court, I was an influential politician, I had all this power, and now I'm in this elephant body. He was not too happy about it. He thought, what a waste of time. Doing all the politics, getting all the influence, and now look at me. What is the meaning of it all? So he was a prize elephant. Actually, he was... See what happened. Actually, he was given away to someone who finished a... King was writing a poem, couldn't finish the poem. So when he finished it, when one poet finished it, then the king said, okay, I'll give you a donation of elephant. Then he gave the elephant to the poet. And the poet, he was finding a lot of trouble feeding elephant. So the poet took the elephant to India, and then the poet found that this king was willing to buy elephant. So he got 100 gold coins. Yeah, so he was sent from Simladweep to this place where he was a child, in the previous life where he was a noble. Then in that place, that king sold him off to the, gave him to the poet. And the poet sold him for 100 gold coins to the king of Malava. I don't know where Malava Desh is. Malava, maybe Malaya. So he was getting around. He was a traveling elephant. He got very sick. After some time, very sick. He could remember his birth and he was realizing and he was feeling really frustrated. So he got very sick. The owner came. The new emperor, I paid 100 gold coins, my prize elephant, what are you doing, Mohats? So we don't know, he's not recovering. So when the elephant was the elephant then, spoke to the king. Bring a pandit who can read 17th chapter Bhagavad Gita and I'll be alright. You don't normally hear elephants talk. So the king was quite surprised to hear these words. So he found one pandit who knew the 17th chapter Bhagavad Gita and had him read it. So after reading 17th chapter for some time, suddenly he realized the mercy of the Lord and he was liberated from the body of the elephant and he got back his spiritual body which was carried by the messengers of Vishnu back to the spiritual world. This was seen by the king. Because the king came to see what's happening and he saw this whole thing happen. He saw the Atma go from the elephant in a nice human-like form and go off. As he realizes he's going, he's saying, what's happened, you know? And he said, 17th chapter Bhagavad Gita freed me from all my karmas. I'm going back to Godhead. Then the king became very confident that this is very good. So he started to chant the 17th chapter also. And he went back to Godhead. So if we do things for the pleasure of the Lord, the 17th chapter, Divisions of Faith, tells us how we need to serve Lord Krishna to find the bona fide spiritual master and serve the Lord for His pleasure. The difference between Dharma and Bhakti. Dharma, there's so many kinds of Dharma, religion. But that Dharma which is meant only for the pleasure of the Lord, that's special. So whatever we do, we should take a spiritual objective. How do we know what's spiritual? That's why we need to find a bona fide guru. And guru will guide us to the guru which was represented as what is the transcendental. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked all his followers to chant Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, to read these two literatures, to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and to worship Lord Krishna. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shikha. Otherwise, in this way, one can very quickly advance in their Krishna consciousness. Any questions tonight? Yes? Achedyo yam adhahyo yam akledyo sosha evacha nitya sarvagata stanor achalo ayam sanatana achalo yam sanatana. This individual soul is unbreakable, insoluble, and can be neither burnt nor dried, burned or dried. He is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. The point here is that the soul doesn't change, stanu, sanatana. That in this same chapter it mentions that there's the transmigration of the soul from one body to the next. That's a part of the spiritual advancement, that we understand how the soul does not go through any of the changes. Actually, even when the soul goes in transmigration, it's actually not visible to us. Soul is on a higher plane. Soul is on the spiritual plane, which is beyond the material time, place, circumstance. But it appears like the soul is moving. But actually the soul is immovable. There's a very subtle difference. Also, nobody can make the soul move. You know, if the soul wants to leave the body, nobody can stop it. And if the soul wants to stay, nobody can keep it there, isn't it? Any other question? Pardon? How do you know? You use the meter, the guru meter. The guru tester. You know what the guru tester machine is? Shastra. And sadhus. Sadhu, shastra, guru. These three things check each other. To tell who's the guru, we find out from shastra. We find out from the lives of great saints and devotees. This is the advantage of working together. So we find out who's the bona fide guru by the sadhu, the shastra, the guru. Guru is also telling us what are the qualifications of guru. Scripture is telling us. So then we have to apply our intelligence, not based on our whim, but based on what the scripture tells us, the shastra. Is the guru following his acharya? Is the guru chanting? Is the guru a devotee of Krishna? Is the guru's preaching able to take away the doubts? There are so many different things one can look for, mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Qualities also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's how we can tell in the initial stage. Then there's a trial period before initiation, that when you've accepted a guru, then you serve. And in that trial period, then you can see whether you're advancing nicely or not. Any other question? Yes? Couldn't hear. What did he say? What is the role of Kali?
Universal,
Most everybody is being lorded over. That's why we need to perform sacrifice for Krishna, austerities for Krishna. I don't know if I thoroughly understood the question. The Kali is just constantly giving ideas in our brain. Now, if we are Krishna conscious, we reject those ideas. If we are not Krishna conscious, when the idea comes in our mind, we might get bewildered and think it's a good idea. That's why we have to know what the scriptures say, what Guru says. And when Kali says something totally wrong, then we reject it. We have to reject that. Someone is... Parikit Maharaj, he was cursed by a Brahmin boy because of his mistake. So these things happen. So it said that Kali influenced that Brahmin boy. It wasn't an offense that Parikit Maharaj should have been given the death penalty. So like that, Kali is always giving a false propaganda and creating dissension and quarrels. So we have to take the other mood of avoiding such degrading things. Okay? Hare Krishna.